Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. On Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, and it was fantastic there to hear from our brand new presenting sponsor of the Ira Kaufman podcast, Bill Curry Ford. Like Ira, Bill Curry Ford is a Tampa tradition for nearly 60 years, although Ira's older than that. Anyway, BillCurryFord.com is the website. We'll talk more about the partnership later. The fellas, Ira and Lee, and special guest Rock Riley today have a fantastic podcast. I suggest you listen all the way through. Also, you can subscribe to the podcast. You get a free alert that it's there and ready for you. Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, wherever you want to listen, we love that you do it, especially when you do it right there at JoeBucksFan.com. Wednesday night, first Wednesday of the month, that means Drew Garabo of 102.5 The Bone will be at the Midtown location of Pin Chasers. Yes, Pin Chasers, that's where you go bowling if you live anywhere near the Tampa Bay area. Drew Garabo will be out there, and unlimited bowling starting at 8 o'clock, $10.99. That's it, $10.99. Free shoes, as always, $1 Yingling drafts. And this is the first Wednesday of every month. Now, if you can't go to the Midtown location on Armenia, go to Pin Chasers at the Veterans location on Hillsborough Avenue. They kick off bone bowling there at 9 o'clock or out in East Pasco. All the details are at pinchasers.net, where you can see all of the daily specials that are really fantastic at Pin Chasers. They, too, are a Tampa tradition. 60 years they're celebrating this year. Congratulations, Pin Chasers. Now, here's what you've been waiting for, The Sage.
And welcome to another edition of The Sage's Podcast, the Ira Kaufman, JoeBucksFan.com podcast. No better in the world. There's a ton of them. All you need to know is this one. The Sage is here. The man, he always cracks me up. Lee DeCempa. Very, very funny. There are times where I'm almost driving off the road, and I'm not kidding you, Lee. And I'm Rock Riley. The Sage, how are you? Preseason is done. It is another regular season for you, Sage.
Auditions are over, my friend. It's time for center stage. John Lynch coming to town. Quan Alexander coming to town. Tim McGraw will greet them with a heartbreak country song and send those slickers back to the West Coast with their tail between the legs. Rock, this is a game. The Bucks should win. The Bucks are better than the 49ers, especially since we don't know about Jimmy G. We'll get into that game details more, but this is a home game, Rock. The Bucks have not had a winning record at home in about a decade.
It really is that long?
Since Chucky left town.
Dang.
And it's time that started. It's time to reverse that trend.
How many? Say that again, that stat again.
I don't believe the Bucks have had a winning record at home in the last decade.
You're right. You're correct. They've been 500, I think, once. But, yeah, the Bucks have the worst home record in the NFC in the post-Chucky era. God. The only team in the NFL has a worst home record, if I recall correctly, by one loss, is the Browns.
Are testing the patience of these fans something fierce, Rock. An 11-year playoff drought is unacceptable, as you know, Mr. Riley. And if the Browns should live up to the hype, and I think that's a real debatable question, but if they do, and they make the postseason, and the Bucks don't, your Tampa Bay Bucks will have the reigning longest. Is that anything you want to hang your hat on, Rock?
It's unbelievable.
When the Browns played here, I want to give people the professionalism, the work ethic of the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the king of Newport Richie, the curator of Canton.
How am I going to live up to all
this, Rock?
The
custodian of Canton. After the Browns game, in the bowels of the Den of the Depression, the tunnels, is well after Arians had spoke, well after, you know, Bucks are starting to go home. They're leaving in the locker room.
Is this before or after I grabbed the sandwich from PDQ Chicken and that Jeff Kamis gave?
I think it's before.
Before, okay.
There was the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, buttonholed Cleveland Browns offensive coordinator, Todd Monken, digging for information, just pestering him with questions, direct. I mean, he was doing his homework. I just wanted to say hi to Monk. I was hanging around and say, hey, Todd, I'm sorry we didn't have a beer, but, you know, Todd's a good guy. And there's Ira just pestering him in a good way.
Good,
you know,
work, Sage.
Just digging in.
That doesn't surprise me. Did he give you anything, though?
Right.
Did he say
anything? What the Kemper leaves out is, just as Monken was going to give me some juicy nuggets.
Yeah.
Which I could repeat on this show for all our...
Yes, your own podcast.
11 million fans.
Yeah, you're going to... Yeah,
just as he was getting ready, here comes the Kemper. Ask him about his dog. You know, what movies he's seen.
It's like you were trying to put the moves on the girl back in high school, and here comes the other guy, and he blocked you.
My thoughts went to PBC Chicken. Rock, this is a very, very exciting time of year.
And how about this? Bill Curry Ford has jumped on the Sages podcast. Hey, they know, man. You go with the ratings, and it's the number one. Bill Curry Ford, the Sage, myself, Steve, and the great Lee DeKemper. We are so happy that you are on board with us here with the Sage at JoeBucksFan.com.
After this podcast, I'm going to take off my Ford F-150. Bill Curry, that was the first place I went. Because I've heard good things about Sean Sullivan and Charles Bannacher. I've heard good things about Bill Curry Ford, how they treat people right. They're actually treating me like family, and they're not. That's not BS. They call
your
me
own
up.
Family don't treat you like family.
That's correct. Every couple of weeks they call me. Is there anything we can do for you? Is your truck running fine? Is this? Is that? And the service I've had there. And here's a good story. A couple months ago, when we had the Love Bugs, those damn things.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Well, they had them bad, and you know you're supposed to. You know, if you don't wash those things from your vehicle, they'll eat the paint up. I was washing my truck every freaking 2 days. Mm-hmm. I must have spent $50 to car washes. Pain. Well, I come back from a car wash one day. I missed a spot. What? I started looking. All these bed bug spots were still there. I started trying to rub them off. They wouldn't rub off. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got a brand new truck. I got to get a new paint job right away. This is crazy. I'm with the Bill Curry Ford. I'm like, is there any way you could detail us? Otherwise, I got to get a new paint job. I didn't know they did not do detailing. I called them up. Can you detail? Yeah, we can detail it. They said they could detail. They did. They don't detail. So they had their workers detail the thing for me. I didn't find out until later they didn't detail.
Customer service extraordinaire.
Yes, and not only that, that son of a gun looked like it just came off the rack when they were done with it.
Bill Curry Ford, the place to go.
I'm bringing my Schwinn bike in there and see what...
There you go. And Sean Sullivan, the general manager, if there's a more hardcore Bucks fan than this guy, I haven't met him. You go in there and talk to him about Bucks... You won't be buying a car for a couple hours. You'll be breaking down X's nose on offensive linemen and stunts and shifts and
Rocky,
loops.
He's my first opponent this week in fantasy football.
Ooh.
He's got Patrick Mahomes.
The Todd Wright fantasy football.
And I'm a Chiefs fan. Oh, what am I going to do, root against Mahomes?
Oh, and he's an Irish lad.
I got torn allegiances here.
I love it. Bill Curry Ford. Sean Sullivan is the man. So, Sage, for the away games, you're going to be traveling around to Buffalo Wild Wings. Did fans
Buffalo.
Can...
Buffalo
Party
Wild
with
Wings,
you,
my
Buffalo
friend,
Wild
all
Wings.
Over the Bay Area. He's got me going to Riverview, you know, Land of Lakes. I've already been to Wesley Chapel.
Buffalo Wild Wings, and I think the schedule is right there at JoeBucksFan.com.
And I will be at Riverview for the Thursday night game against Gerald McCoy and the Panthers.
And the most important thing for Ira and Buffalo Wild Wings?
Yes.
That's a tax write-off, Ira.
Love the whole thing.
All right, what have you learned, Sage? From the OTAs, from the change, from top to bottom, what have you learned going into the regular season? Or did you learn really anything? Is it hard to...
Rock, the one thing that jumps out at me more than any other, the aggressiveness and the speed on this defense and how the scheme is totally 180 degrees away from Mike Smith, keep the ball in front of you and tackle. And let them move the chains and let them complete 70% of their passes. None of that. None of that exists right now around this building. It's contest every ball. Be around the ball. We've seen it. It's only preseason, but we've seen it throughout camp. We've seen it throughout preseason. There's a lot more speed on this defense. Rock, that to me is the biggest change. This defense, I expect, will go from the dregs towards the middle of the pack. Even without JPP, I got that much faith in Todd Bowles.
Wow. You know, first of all, how can they not go up? How could they not? It's almost impossible.
One of the worst in the history of the NFL.
And that's not hyperbole. When Mike Smith was fired, they were on pace for the worst defense in 100 years, or at the time, 99 years of the NFL. So that's not hyperbole when I say that. That's fact. There's no way they can get worse unless they try, which Sometimes I wonder if they were actually, Mike Smith was actually trying. Honest to goodness. If Bowles gets that defense to average, just average?
Average.
Just average? I think they're contending for a wild card. I really believe that. How many games has this team lost the last two or three years because of just horrific defense?
Rock, I'll go along with the part of that, but I'll add a second part. If they get to average on defense, if, big if, and if they can win the turnover battle, which they haven't been able
big
to do.
Point. Brooks used to talk about that even when he
and
played and
Brooks,
still with
I
you.
I
bet
morning.
You he still is. He still on
he's
that?
He's still on that, the turnover and he's still battle? On run the football.
Gotcha.
He's big on run the football.
So
right?
Arians was, he talked about it here early this week at his press conference. How about when he was asked about Vita Vea and he said, oh my God. He said, Vita Vea along with Ndamukong Suh, they're not just run stuffers. They're just good. They bring pressure. That's the big key.
Mm-hmm.
How is it going to be 100%, 98%, 70%? Are you going to have Vita Vea because you got the first game and you got the Thursday night game? That's big right off the bat.
You know, and speaking of pressure, and the more you think about this, you know, look, you won't have JPP. Spence is gone. Barrett is decent, as we've seen. Edge pressure looks like it could be a problem. But pressure up the middle, which I think is at least as important, if not more, Ruck. And when you add in the blitzes of Levante David and White, and talking about those two interior defensive linemen, guys like Drew Brees, they don't like guys in their face. That's going to be a big key towards the Bucs.
Wasn't that what Arian said? They got to get it. You got to, especially, he starts with the two teams, or the two times you're going to play teams in the division.
Mm-hmm.
They get rid of the ball quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was even saying that on offense. So that's the key.
Now, it's not just Ira that says you got to get pressure up the middle on Brees. There's two elements at work there. First off, even Sean Payton knows that. Notice Sean Payton has always said the interior of your offensive line is more important than your tackles. There you go. That's why.
He always put a premium on a center.
Yes, yes,
Sean
exactly,
Payton.
Exactly. But like Pat Kerwin said, I have a lot of respect for Pat Kerwin, former Buck scout. He currently works for Sirius XM Radio. He used to be a suit for the Jets. Actually, was linebackers coach with Monty Kiffin with the Jets at one time.
He loves Kerwin. He loves Ian Beckles. Continually.
Well, Beckles has compelling. I think so.
Busting.
But with Kerwin, I guess the Bucks have told him like, no, we're going to blitz up the middle, and Kerwin's suspicious of that. And Kerwin said, bluntly asked, he goes, you're going to blitz up the middle with Drew Brees? Good luck with that. You know, Kerwin is really down on the Bucs. He loves Arians. He doesn't think the personnel is up to snuff. He
right.
just doesn't like the personnel.
Right.
And so he's got a lot of question marks, which I do, not the same questions. So, you know, a lot of national media is way down on the Bucs.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some Bucs fans take that personally, but it's like, you know, they're disrespecting. No, you earn respect. And right now, speaking of how many losses they've had at home over since Chucky, a decade, the Bucs have earned nothing but disrespect and scorn. I'm sorry.
How much do you go by that with the past of the Bucs, and then again, Arians and Bowles, and this is a new regime. This is different.
That's the only reason for optimism, Brock. Let's get very honest like we do here on this podcast, and it's a reason why once in a while I hit that top 50 that Izbitz always talks about, Rock.
Google Play.
And look out, Dr. Phil. I'm coming after you, Rock. Let's be honest, Rock. 98% of the optimism around here is because of a new coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about Devin White, and it's not about Sean Bunt. It's about a new coaching staff and what they can do with some of these guys that have been underachievers around here. Now, who was one of them was Noah Spence. And the thought was new staff. New scheme, new Noah Spence. It didn't happen, Rock. And that's a little ominous. But let's not overreact. But if it happens with Vernon Hargraves and he doesn't show a step up, we got big problems around.
See, Sage, I'm not too worried. Well, go ahead. Yeah, but
yeah,
I was going to ask you.
Was about the 2016 draft. Those two guys were the jewels of that draft, allegedly.
Rock, there's only one starter left. His name's Vernon Hargraves. He's got enough pressure playing cornerback, which is a killer position in this league, especially when you're going up against Michael Thomas and Julio Jones twice a year. He's the only guy, if he makes it big, the 2016 draft doesn't look so bad. Of course, that's the Aguayo draft. If Hargraves gets hurt seriously or struggles, it's a disaster, Rock. And to say it's among the worst drafts in franchise history, that's saying a mouthful. Because they've had some horrible drafts. And I'm not talking about Jason Light. I'm talking about in the early 80s. Rock, that's what fueled a 14-year playoff drought. Now we're in an 11-year playoff drought. You can't make up for bad drafts. You can't do it.
I want to back up what Ira said. And by the way, Ira, that I think is partially why this team is strangled by the salary cap, even though they're a losing team. Draft picks didn't pan out. What do you have to do then? You have to go out and buy players. It's not cheap.
And you overpay.
Bill Polian one time on SiriusXM NFL Radio, the Hall of Fame general manager, he said, ideally, when you're building a team, ideally, you want four starters out of each draft. Now, you don't expect four Pro Bowlers. You want two guys to be very good, he said. One or two, preferably a Pro Bowler. If two, it's great, but one, you need two good players.
And two are serviceable.
And two serviceable starters. 2016, one starter. 2014, one starter. 2019, so far, one starter.
Do you agree with that? I'm more concerned about now. And this, okay, let's talk about the rookies.
Well, 2014, that's a Mike Evans draft.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so what about this? What about this draft class? Are you with Lee on that? You think there's only going to be really one starter out of this draft class?
Right now.
Well.
Currently.
First, opening game.
All the focus has to be on Devin White. All the focus. Now, Rock, you've heard the murmurings from Buck Nation. They're suspicious to begin with because they've been through a lot and they've been beaten over the head for 11 years. All of a sudden you're hearing, well, I don't see the splash plays. Where are the splash plays from the number 5 pick in the draft? And then you hear that the Florida State defensive end rookie looks very good. Josh Allen looks very good. And that's only going to make it worse if Devin White doesn't have a splash year.
But Sage, this is just preseason.
That's
we're talking about preseason.
Because Arians
this week, earlier this week, was asked about Devin White, said he's done everything, but he also said, we haven't shown everything. You think we've seen all of Todd Bowles' defense? So don't you agree? You can't get too hyped or too low with just preseason.
I'll tell you one thing I think Devin White's been outstanding about, Lee, is communication. Because I mentioned it to Arians the other day. I said, are you surprised there's been so few breakdowns, guys running wide open, miscommunications, new scheme, a lot of new players? And he said it's a tribute, you know, to the maturity of these young guys. I think you got to start with the middle linebacker right there. He's done a very good job in that regard, Lee, in terms of communication.
Well, that's interesting. It was Rick Stroud that asked Arians on Tuesday. Even he's starting to wonder about White because it was him. You know, we're not talking about no-name blogger in New Jersey that flew in. We're talking Rick Stroud, who's been covered almost as long as I were here.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, are you happy? I'm paraphrasing.
Yes.
Are you happy with Devin White's play so far?
Mm-hmm.
So even he's wondering, like, mm-hmm. where are the splash plays?
Sure.
And Arians, and I'll admit it, I've been suspicious too. Not that I wanted to be. I want the guy to be a Hall of Famer. I want the Bucs to win. These people that think, oh, you didn't want the Bucs to draft Devin White, so you want him to fail. BS. I didn't want the Bucs to draft O.J. Howard. You see how many articles I've written defending him? Just knock his stuff off. Anyway. White.
Your argument was based on position.
Yes.
You take the pass rush.
Yeah, oh, my God, yeah. I don't get going on that.
Well, right.
You and I went head and toe.
We did.
But Aaron's kind of slapped me awake a little bit. He wasn't answering my question. He's answering Stroud's. But he said, you know, He's learning a lot. He's calling the plays. So I'm like, you know what? A rookie calling the plays, that's heavy lifting. Because learning that. That's a big step.
There's no way you can spin
that kind of
the other
woke
way.
Me up. Like, okay.
Right.
And Arian said something that freaked me out. And I'm gonna write about it at some point on JoeBucksFan.com.
Uh-huh.
He sort of paraphrased Lovey when Lovey said he didn't want to score points late in the first half against the Panthers and that 2-bit backup at Derek Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Arian said, I'm not worried about tackles. Whoa, number 5 overall pick of linebacker. You're not worried about tackles? But then he started making sense when he went on to explain. When he first said that, I almost fell out of my chair. Number 5 overall pick of linebacker. You don't care if he's making tackles? Give me a break. You want him to be Ray Lewis.
Rock, to me, it's about takeaways. To me, it's about takeaways. You give up your yards between the 20s and you play good red zone defense and you get the takeaways. And that is a good defense. I don't care how many yards you give up between the 20s. It's about points, baby. And if you give this offense, Rock, which if they have a little bit of balance, it's a dangerous offense.
All right.
I still think without Humphreys and DeSean Jackson, Jameis Winston has some of the best targets in football.
All right, I will agree with that. But what did Arians harp on this week? You got to run the football. Are you confident enough? Now, I know they picked up a running back that he's familiar with, TJ. He's also going to be the return man. Did you see the big smile on his face? Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Once he asked about him. Do you think they're going to be able to run
you
the football?
Me if
are
I'm
they
confident?
Yes.
My answer is no.
Yeah, it
my
is not.
No.
It is not. Why not?
My answer is no.
Just based on what you've seen, is it the offensive line, the scheme?
Because the five starters up front are the same, except at right guard, where Benenach has played so well, he's now a backup right tackle. and you're bringing in Kappa, who looked overwhelmed in the preseason at times. At times. I still think he's a tackle. They tell me he's a guard. That's all right. I didn't think
you're not gonna get
I didn't
fired.
Think Marpet was the center, and it turned out I was right. So, Rock, you know, they've still got Barber. They've still got Ronald Jones. They didn't run the ball particularly well in the preseason. They really didn't. The first game wasn't bad, and then going downhill since then. Rock, I'm telling you.
What about Dari?
Third and eights, we got a problem here.
Do you like Ogunbowale or Dari?
I'm proven. I'm focused more on the holes and the guys up front, and I just don't think they're very good at run blocking. Maybe a new coaching staff, Lee, can unlock the techniques that work, but I have to be convinced. And it's a well-heeled offensive line. Spent a lot of money on that.
That they did.
Yeah,
they spent a lot of money. What are they, fourth, fifth, something like that in the NFL?
That debacle against Cleveland. And I've been more often than not a defender of the offensive line. I never expected them to be world beaters, and they haven't been. And that's sort of why I defended them. And I've also seen worse Bucks. Yes, I've seen worse Bucks offensive lines. I have. 3-4 years ago. Lovey's first year. Come on. So I can't, you know, when these people, the worst offensive line man has ever. No. Calm down. Anyway, even as, and that was a debacle against Cleveland. I went off on these guys. That was a debacle. But there were two times, very, very briefly, there's a seam there. Very briefly, it flashed. Ronald Jones almost exposed both of them because he had the speed to react. Barber didn't have the speed to react. I'm not anti-Barber. You know, everybody jumps in and goes, oh, you hate Barber. I hate lack of production. You insert the name. I hate lack of
production. Noah Spence. There you go.
And nothing made me sadder than to see. I'm being very serious here. Nothing made me sadder with the revelation of the 53-man roster than Spence leaving. And I predicted it. Spence would get cut. He did. I was very sad about that. I'll never forget up in Minnesota when he blew out his shoulder the second time. And he bared his soul to me. You know, like I was a priest in a confessional.
Didn't a Buck cheerleader do that in 98?
Well, she bared something else, but we'll get to that later. He was almost in tears.
No, so he took an extra little liking to Noah.
I did this all offseason. I had to say, Lee, I couldn't do it. And I didn't ask him a question. He saw me across the locker room. Was Lee, come here, Lee. And I wanted to throw up. I felt so sick for him.
But, Lee, have they not given him enough
chances, my gosh, yeah.
Lee?
Yeah, they did. Was it last year the entire fourth game of the preseason? He was out there on the field the whole time, which is unheard of for a number two pick against beer truck drivers and history teachers and insurance claims adjusters. And basically the same thing this year. It was almost like, and I've written this 3 or 4 times already, you know, people say, oh, you say the same thing all the time. Well, here we go. It was almost like the Bucks were telling him, would you please make a play so you give us a reason to keep you?
You know, Rock, I'm not trying to be a D-line coach. I'm not Brenton Buckner or whatever. But it just seems to me, maybe focus more on the Gaines Adams types with Noah Spence, where, Rock, you got speed around the edge. It's not enough. It's not enough when you get to the next level, at the pro level. The left tackles are too good. The right tackles are too good. They're going to take that away. They're going to ride you around. You're never going to get there. Mm-hmm. You got to have more than that, Rock. You got to have techniques. You got to have spin moves. And if you don't have it, you're not going to make it, Rob.
So is that your concern? From the edge, they just don't have enough talent there right now? With balls and all his creativity.
Nassib's a little different. Yeah. He's got
you
the
never
motor.
Know about Nassib.
You never know.
I know he's not a household name, you
You're
know?
Right.
What about Shaq Barrett? You know, that's another
I
one,
I think Barrett's going to be a good pickup.
Barrett, I think, is a very good pickup. I agree with Ivan. He's shown me some flashes. Like, you know, this guy might come up with 4 or 5 sacks.
You know, he was a part-time player in Denver. I think he's going to play a lot here, Rock. I think, and I would use him a lot coming off that left edge.
Oh, yeah, I would. My last point about Spence, I thought he was going to be pretty good. He had a nice rookie year, even though he was playing with one arm, basically, because of his shoulder. Had 5.5 sacks, generally. Not everybody's Bosa when they come out and have 11, 12 sacks as a rookie. Ira knows this better than anyone. Rookie defensive pass rushers, he technically was a defensive end, I guess. They kind of struggle. And he had 5.5 sacks. It's not bad for a rookie. And then he blows out his shoulder.
Yeah.
And then he started his second season, started very well. He strip sack, wouldn't have Mike Lennon? Looked like Simeon Rice, got a fumble out of it. Everything was, oh, man, the Bucs finally found a pass rusher. Next game, he blows out his shoulder again in Minnesota. He's never been the same. But what's that tell you how far he's fallen off the map? That Jason Light's gone on record, said this defense fits him better than a 4-3, and he was invisible.
What about as we get into this season now? Like Lee mentioned, nationally, nobody is talking about the Bucs. There's also no distractions. Jameis isn't suspended. There's no drama, nothing. Veteran coach. How about when he gave the team a talk and he said, hey, now you're Buccaneers. He did that early this week. Up until now, you weren't. Now we grind. What's the biggest thing? Jenna Lane asked him, the biggest thing for you as you've been here now for several months? He goes, no music. Last year when I traveled around, it drove me crazy. That's a distraction. You're too easy on these players. Some teams give Fridays, days off. We don't do that. So I just think I have a hard time, Sage, betting against Bruce Arians. I don't think he would have come here just to mail it in, or now, oh, we don't have enough. Am I off? Am I off base?
Well,
am I putting too much on it?
I understand your overall point, Rock. I believe the level of accountability has been elevated around here. That's a big part of learning, and it's a big part of production, hopefully. Is the talent there? We'll find out, Rock. I think they're thin in the trenches. Where there always seem to be thin in the trenches. This is the NFL. It's not if injuries are going to happen. It's when. They're going to happen. Last year, they were incredibly lucky up front. I stunned DeKemper months ago by saying...
You stunned DeKemper?
I stunned DeKemper by saying basically the whole offensive line was intact for 16 freaking games. That's 80 games worth. I think they might have missed two games out of 80.
I didn't even realize that. That's,
so when
that's
that
true.
Happens, by the end of the season, you should have a hell of an offensive line.
Yeah.
It's all about coordination and gelling, and it didn't happen, Rock. That, to me, tells you there's talent problems up front.
Well, I remember, again, I'll bring up Kerwin only because I like him and I respect him.
He
and
loves
I
Kerwin.
To him.
He loves Beckles.
Kerwin, when the Falcons made the Super Bowl, Kerwin said, I can tell you why the Falcons made the Super Bowl. This is why. They had all their offensive linemen started all but one game. One offensive lineman missed one game the entire season. He goes, that's why this team went to the Super Bowl, because their offensive line was intact. Bucks had the same kind of luck. They were awful.
Mm-hmm.
They were awful.
No, that is a concern for me. There's no doubt about that. Yeah.
Looks like they got themselves a kicker.
All right. Rock? What do you think? What do you think?
Well, he's part of my predictions. We'll get to that
okay,
later.
Okay.
Oh. Rock, I mean, it's hard to believe that this has been an issue since Matt Bryant left. And by the way, Matt Bryant's back in the NFL.
I saw that.
Good for you.
See
I'm
the picture of
you.
The family, and they said, we'll say goodbye to you now, Dad. Bring back the Lombardi Trophy. Family Guy, no doubt about that. But here you're going from an unproven now, Matt Gay. But, boy, he's done every. He hasn't shown one thing. We remember when Aguayo was here. He was missing in practice. We haven't seen that. Yeah. So there's no reason to believe, right,
Sage? It's hard to believe that Aguayo's out. He's out of football, Rock. It's over.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's over. What
mm-hmm.
happened?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, it's just one of the kickers can do that, Rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, reminds me of a relief pitcher from year to year, unless you're a Mariano Rivera, you know, or Lee Smith or somebody of that caliber.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're going to get from
him. That was a blast from the past. Lee Smith.
Lee Smith.
Like that big ready.
Rock, what about this total ignorance and irrelevance for the Bucs on the national landscape? Rock, I'll throw my two cents in. Arians has been around long enough, and he's a master motivator. He's got to be using this every freaking day in that meeting room. Nobody thinks you guys are any good. So Gruden loves it. He's probably doing that with the Raiders.
Oh, my
Because the
God.
Raiders are picked to go, you know, third or fourth in the division, and that's a hell of a division with the Chiefs and Chargers.
He's keeping a lot of quarterbacks, is
and,
he?
So here are the Bucks in a tough division.
Yeah.
Arguably the toughest.
Yeah.
And you know Arians is hammering away at this underdog thing, Rock. If anybody can use it to his advantage, it's Arians.
Ira, what if the NFC South isn't the toughest, what would be the toughest? NFC West? Or, excuse me, AFC West? That's the only division.
No, because the Broncos and the Raiders aren't very good. Certainly not the AFC East. It's unbelievable how those other three teams are always bad for a decade. AFC North's not bad except for the Bengals. Ravens are good.
Good point.
Steelers are good. And the Browns could be good. That could be a tough division, Rock. So I still think this underdog, if the Bucs have any pride, Rock, they're going to show it Sunday after Tim McGraw. And by the way, Rock, I like to drop little nuggets on this podcast.
That you always do.
I don't want to knock you off this seat right here.
I'm ready.
But, you know, once in a while I get a scoop, and I have been privy to Tim McGraw's set list for his show, which will start at 2:00.
Bring it, Sage.
And
bring it, Sage.
I'm only gonna reveal the first song.
Faith Hill.
I'm only gonna reveal the first song. It's a brand new one. He just penned it, so you can't go out and get it yet. And it's called "The I'm Sick of Missing the Playoffs for 11 Year Blues." That will be the opening. It's a kick-ass song.
You're kidding, right?
I am kidding.
I was gonna say I didn't know how to take him.
I am kidding.
You did a good sell. I was hoping you'd say something about Faith Hill.
The 11-year playoff drought blues, Rock. And I hear it's going to be a bestseller.
Here's one, Ira, and you're big on attendance. You like attendance. Is anyone coming to this game just because of McGraw? I keep fighting myself not to say Doug McGraw.
I think yes.
Really?
I think yes.
No, he's a superstar. There's a lot of country fans here in Tampa Bay.
Well,
I bet you will.
Yeah, how many of you people going to stick around for the game, you think?
Well, that's another question.
All right. Overall, Sage, this is the one thing, and I asked this to Arians. This surprised me. You've covered a lot of preseason. Yeah, the coaches will say, yeah, we do want to win, but it's about evaluating, get ready for that regular season. We know that Arians decided to call the plays for this last game because the first team offense was practicing outside with Leftwich. He just took the backups and went inside, and that's why he called the plays. All right, I understand that, because at first I thought that was a little bit strange. But how about how he had this emphasis on winning, winning, winning. Oh, we should have won the first. That was my bad, winning. So I asked him, I said, is this your MO in the past, or was it because you've taken over a franchise that has lost so much? And he said right away, you see that, Lee? He says, first 3 years, you establish that. After that, then you don't have to establish that. What do you think about him establishing winning, 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 even games that don't count?
I think he's exactly right. They don't count, but they matter. Lee, you've heard that phrase. It's well said about the preseason. Winning's a habit, so is losing. But after you're an established team, you know, you think Bill Belichick's going to bed last night, you know, that we didn't go 4-0 in the preseason? Of course not. He's looking at the fifth string safety, and he's, you know, that's what I'm in this for. This ain't New England, gentlemen. This ain't Pittsburgh. Tomlin hasn't had a losing season since he's been in Pittsburgh. This is Tampa, and we know losing here. Two winning seasons since Chucky's been gone. No playoffs since Chucky's been gone. So I'm with Arians on this. Now, would he be saying this if the Bucs would have lost three of these close preseason games? Maybe, maybe not. But I got no problem with him harping, Lee, on establishing what it takes to be a winner. And they've pulled some games out of their butt in the preseason.
Yeah, didn't he even say that kind of grows in the locker room, the winning?
You know what he said? He goes, okay, these were at the end of these preseason games when these were the twos and the threes. But he goes, the number ones were on the sidelines watching. They're there too. So it's an overall thing. This has been a losing culture, and he's just trying to break that.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
What did you make of Ndamukong Suh getting slapped with a $21,000 fine for kind of pushing Baker Mayfield?
Guilt by reputation.
Ding.
Guilt by reputation.
That's what I thought too.
If that's a third-year guy with no history of incidents, I'm surprised Evan Smith isn't reviewing this play because he's the guy that I believe that Suh stepped on.
You're right.
Years ago.
He's not here now.
He's got a reputation, Lee. He's going to have to live with it. And if it's a borderline call,
he ain't going to get it.
He ain't going to get it.
Yeah, I agree with Ira. Now, a lot of people, one guy on Twitter went after me when I said, it looks like it was a foul. based on today's NFL standards. And some guy, oh, you'd rather have them in freaking flag football. No, I wish it was back in the 70s when clotheslining was a good thing. But this is the world we live in. This is Roger Goodell's league. Roger Goodell doesn't want hitting in his league. He just doesn't. And unfortunately, that's the standard I'm using. Did it look like Sue was wrong? By today's standards, yes. 10 years ago? Of course not. But the game has changed.
And, Rock, speaking of flags, speaking of infractions, I'm going to look very closely this first month of the season. Two things. One, as Derek Brooks says, tackling stinks in the first month of every NFL season. That's what Brooks says. And
first
who knows
month.
Better than Derek Brooks? So it works both ways. The Bucs better wrap up, and if you can get Ronald Jones in space, maybe he can take it 40 yards because tackling's a problem. But more importantly, Rock, I'm going to look at pass interference. To me, this is the scourge of the National Football League. I think they've gone too far in the other direction. They want scoring. They've got scoring. But you pay a price, Rock. How the heck can you play cornerback in this league? It's brutal.
That's shit.
You can't touch these guys past 5 yards. They're watching you like a hawk. And, Rock, now with interference being under review, offensive and defensive, I'll give you an example. You're in the red zone. Winston throws a 17-yard touchdown pass to O.J. Howard. Mm-hmm. It's a scoring play. Lee, it's reviewed. Mm-hmm. During the review, they see that Chris Godwin may have set a pick that helped spring O.J. Howard open. That's considered offensive pass interference.
That's ridiculous.
That could nullify the touchdown,
ridiculous.
Lee, because all of a sudden, it's part of the pass interference thing. Mm-hmm. Rock, this could be a mess early in this season.
That's a good
Ira's always said something that I absolutely, totally, and completely agreed with. And, as a matter of fact, I've been doing it for years, and Ira was the first person I know of that actually spoke about it on a national forum when he was with Chris Russo on SiriusXM NFL Radio. Not NFL Radio, Mad Dog Radio on SiriusXM. Ira said interference is so common now that whenever there's a touchdown, immediately you're looking for a flag or a completion.
Mm-hmm. Or an
incomplete.
Drives
me crazy.
You're looking for a flag.
It's ridiculous.
And I was doing that for years. Whenever there's a completion, I'm looking in the corners of the screen, see if I can find a flag. That shouldn't be. When every time there's a good play, you're looking for a flag.
That's a problem, Rock. That's a league problem. I think it is.
All right. So for our next podcast now, it's going to be the preview of the San Francisco 49ers and the opener. But also there's some predictions that you boys are going to give. JoeBucksFan.com
and I
listeners,
didn't do very
I understand.
Well on my predictions in 2018, but I'm going to bounce back in fantasy football, and I'm going to bounce back on the prediction level.
All right, I can't wait for the next podcast end of the week for your predictions, guys.
This is Tampa, and we know losing here.